This is Doug Miller. How would you like to see and look at and share with me some of the most precious exhortations to be found anywhere in Scripture? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and here we go again. One more time into the Word of God to send this out over the airwaves, knowing that lives are being changed and that people are being saved and that the Word of God will always glorify God and will never return to Him void. We are in the fourth chapter of Philippians, and which is the last chapter of this little book, which has certainly been a blessing to me and I trust to all of you who have been listening. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Philippians 4, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. As you've heard me say before, we have no advertising budget in Dialogue, not going to have either, not going to spend the money in that way. You are our advertisers, and the people who listen to Dialogue are the ones that have done a marvelous job of just telling their neighbors and their friends, you know, you ought to take a listen to this guy and get in on the Word of God. So tell a friend. Call them up right now. Tell them to listen. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists to get this Word out there. And we, of course, are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners and those who have an interest in Dialogue Ministries. So pray for us. Pray for us. Tell others about us. And we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast, so keep your writing materials handy. Now, we also would we invite you to click on your little computer and the proper icon and put in Google, you know, and Google up this, our webpage, www.dialogueministries, all small letters, all one word, .org, O-R-G. And that will get it. If you put something other than O-R-G, you won't get Dialogue. Okay. All right. Let's get into it here. And I, once again, as I said, this is some of the most precious stuff you're ever going to read. And just good, solid advice for all of us to read, to think about, to exhort one another with, to go through life living by. Paul says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. Now, I told you when we began this letter, when we began looking at Philippians, I mentioned that one time I went through to and counted all the times that the word joy or rejoice or, you know, similar words exist. And I think I counted up 41 times. I haven't gone back and recounted since I said that. Perhaps I should have, but I didn't. You can do this. For example, you know, in if you, you can just look back, chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Well, here we have it again. The incredible, astounding, encouraging, amazing thing about this verse is that it was written by a man who was locked up in a Roman prison. And that, you know, he wrote this letter, and all of these times, so many times throughout this letter, he uses this word rejoice. Now, some of you out there are living through trials and troubles and pain that I could not imagine. Some of you have been through tremendous temptations and trials and stress. And we all go through them from time to time. But here is a man, this guy, Paul. I want you to remember back in chapter 3 when we read through it and went through it together. Here is a man who had lost everything that he had ever had of a worldly nature. He had been driven out from his family. He was cut off from the Jews. And he had just lost everything. It cost him everything he had of a worldly nature to follow Christ. I'm just reading from the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians now. And just to give you a little idea about what this man had gone through. He says, I speak, and I'm beginning, this is 2 Corinthians 11:21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. Now that's just a little of what Paul went through to follow and to serve Christ. Now Paul is not just boasting. He is not running those things out there so that people will say, boy, what a great guy you are. No, that's the Holy Spirit. This is Holy Spirit inspired. And that's the Spirit saying, you put it down. People need to hear that. And I like to think in terms of you put it down. 2,000 years almost hence, a man named Doug Miller is going to be on the radio talking, and he's going to need to tell people this, and they're going to need to hear it and listen to it and consider it. Paul, by the time he wrote this letter to the Philippians, was in prison. In prison because of his testimony for Christ. In prison unjustly. Is he feeling sorry for himself? Is he complaining about it? No. His message is rejoice. His message to the Romans was, all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. His message to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 18 was, in everything give thanks. Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're living through right now, but I can tell you this. The message of the gospel is rejoice. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. We have a song that we sing in church sometimes, and I'm sure that many of you sing it. Charles Wesley wrote it. Rejoice. The Lord is King. And you know how the chorus goes, don't you? Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope. The Lord our God shall come and take his children up to their eternal home. We soon shall hear the archangel's voice. The trump of God shall sound. Rejoice. Well, let's look at verse 5, and we'll look at some more of this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. One short sentence, period, and then another short sentence. The Lord is at hand. Well, yes. Can we rejoice? Yes, the Lord is at hand. His coming draws nigh. Every day our salvation is closer. Our salvation, wrote Paul in Romans 13, is nearer than when we believed. The Lord Jesus told a group of Jews one time, when you see armies compassing Jerusalem about, then lift your heads and look up. Your salvation is drawing nigh. And I have said on here before and will continue to say, I am of the persuasion that the coming of the Lord is very close. The coming, not of the Lord back to earth now. Well, that's close too. But if that is close, the coming of the Lord for the church is even closer. We see right now Israel back in the land. We see them surrounded by hostile Gentile armies, the nations of Egypt and Libya and the Sudan and Lebanon and Syria, the nations of Iran and Iraq and Jordan, the nation of Turkey, and to the far north, Russia. The Lord's coming is at hand. But now let's back up just a minute and let's look at this verse 5 and the first sentence. He says, let your moderation be known unto all. Now, that word moderation, that's what it says in the King James. But the real word is epieikes. Epieikes, and it's more like gentleness. Gentleness. In the particular Bible I have, which is a Newberry, out in the column, or out in the, margin out here, it says forbearance. I suppose so. I was at a meeting one time when a man on the platform who was speaking said the word should perhaps be sweet reasonableness. Well, yeah, maybe. I would translate it your gentleness, your forbearance, reasonableness. This is a good thing for Euodius and Syntyche to think about up here, isn't it? Because they sure weren't thinking much about it, and they were sure causing problems in the assembly. And every one of us needs to know this. Our Lord is at hand. At any moment, we could hear the trumpet and shout and be out of here and standing at the bema of Christ to give an account. Time is short, brothers and sisters. And the time for us to demonstrate and to show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to one another and to the world is short. We won't have forever here. And the time to rejoice in Him and to show the joy that we have in Him, that time is short. The Lord is at hand. And we need to see to it that we are rejoicing in Him and bearing with and helping and loving one another. Can we do this? Of course we can do it. The Lord never told us to do anything without giving us the grace and the ability to do it. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed by Him unto the day of redemption. Of course, that brother, that sister there that you say, maybe I can't get along with this individual, we have a personality conflict. Listen, that brother or sister has been redeemed just as you have, is indwelt by the same Holy Spirit that indwells you. You're going to spend an eternity with that brother or sister. There's a sister in the particular meeting that I go to, and she and I have known each other for, wow, I have to think about it a minute, well over 30 years, going on 40. And I just simply love this sister. Now, she's an older sister, older than me by a good 10 years or more. But I told her the other day, you know, in the meeting, I told her how much I loved her, and she said, well, I love you too, and we'd better, she said, we're going to spend eternity together. Yeah, we are. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known to all men. And let's move on. Beautiful exhortation coming up. Be careful for nothing. Now, I knew a man one time. He was very close to me. I loved the man dearly. But this guy was always worried to death. And as I got talking to him about this, he was a believer. And he worried about everything. And I told him one time, I said, you know, that attitude is not very becoming of a man who believes in the Lord Jesus, who believes he's in the hands of the living God for good, who believes that all things work together for good. And as I got talking to him in this vein, I pointed out some other brothers and sisters who were going through great trials, but were just sort of rejoicing and going through these things. And he took the strange attitude, although he didn't say it in just these words, that to not be worried to death about life and the problems of life was a sign of irresponsibility. All responsible people are worried to death, aren't they? Well, no, they are not. Rejoice in the Lord always, back in verse 4. Let your sweet reasonableness be known to all, in verse 5. And now be careful for nothing. Don't worry about things. Don't do it. And you know, that is a flat statement. That is an imperative. And the Lord intends for us to be obedient to that. As I just said, the Lord never asked us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it. What is the antidote for worry? And some of you out there, once again, I know, you don't have to tell me. I've been there, done that. I know what it is to have problems and trials and tribulations, and so do all of you. And some of you out there, once again, at the risk of repeating myself, here it comes again, you are living through things that I could not imagine. You're in terrible trials right now. Well, that's why you have brothers and sisters. That's why we should be praying for one another. And incidentally, that's why you never, ever want to treat a brother or sister in Christ badly. You don't know what they may be living through, but you can be assured of this. All of us are going to live through trials and tribulations. And you're either in them now, or you've been in them, or you're getting ready to be in them. We need to be helping one another. But look at the antidote for, instead of worrying and being careful and being troubled, instead of that, look at this. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I don't care what you're living through. You take it to the Lord with thanksgiving. Notice this. You know, one of the signs of the unsaved Gentile world out there, and even the unsaved Jewish world, one of the signs of the world and one of the great sins of the world that Paul lists in the first chapter of Romans was they were unthankful. They've got no gratitude. The Lord has been gracious to all of us, and we are to be thankful. And as you come before the Lord in prayer, which I hope you are doing plenty of every day, I would urge you, remember the things that he has answered and thank him for them. And even thank him in advance as you bring your problems and trials to him. Thank him right then, because you know he's going to bring you out. You know he is going to take care of these things. You may be in a situation that you say, I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, take it to the Lord and thank him in advance. I'm bringing this to you, Lord, because I've got an apostolic message here in Philippians 4:6 that says I'm not to worry about it. I'm to bring it to you. And so I'm thanking you because I know that you're going to deal with it. And look at the result in verse 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And the word in Greek, it's surpasses. It is huper ekousa. Or rather, I mispronounced that. Let me pronounce it right for all of you Greek scholars out there. Huper ekousa. Huper ekousa. It's not just it's passing. It is surpassing. It's abounding over. This is the abounding peace, and it shall keep your hearts and minds. And I just would almost guarantee you that many of you out there have heard sermons on this, and the man up in the pulpit probably said this word, keep means to garrison, and that is right. That is right. It's garrison. It's like a fortress that's put around you, that's been built around you. The peace of God garrisoning your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a promise of God. Now, we have gone through all of three verses here, and we're getting close to the end. But what precious things these are. These are the kinds of things that you can sit down and you can read and you can pray over and you can think about. And what a blessing these things are. And as you read these things and pray about them and think about them and meditate on them, I want you to remember that you are looking at the Word of the Living God. And back in the 23rd chapter of Numbers, we have this promise. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Brothers and sisters, what we've been looking at in these verses, 4, 5, 6, and 7, is absolutely true. And you can put them in the bank. Now let's close out with verse 8 here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. What a wonderful way to end up this little broadcast. We're all thinking on a lot of things every day. Our minds and our hearts, we're being bombarded from every direction with things that are evil and wicked and sinful and ugly. It's all around us. War and rumor of war, strife and fighting. And every time you turn around, you run into something that you say, oh, man. Well, this is what we should be doing. I guess you can't help bad thoughts coming in, but by the grace of God, you can have a sound mind that thinks on these lovely, wonderful things. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.